Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as, once again, we face the issues. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. And that is the phone number that gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your dialogue, and discussion about the issue of the hour. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I'm always fascinated by those that will argue and debate an issue based on ideological bent or denominational dogma, some rites, rituals, rules, and regulations that they have heard down through the years, rather than simply going back to what does the Bible say. Looking at the truth book, as I would call it, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He made that statement to his disciples in John 8:31-32. And then Jesus further identified that when in John 14:6, Jesus himself said, "I am truth." And then Jesus defines it further when he says, in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God is truth. The Bible does not contain truth, a portion of truth. The Bible is truth. And so anytime you're searching for answers in relationship to family, home, church, politics, as they call it. By the way, there's no such thing as politics, biblically speaking. God created the home, he created the government, he created the church, and in that order. So anything we discuss, ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian, anything we discuss from a central biblicist standpoint, any of those categories, that is the home, government, or the church, it's speaking on biblical truth, biblical issues. So don't let anybody badger you or in any way condemn you as a Christian or as a pastor, saying that you ought not to talk about political things. You ought not to talk about those things. Some have the philosophy and the feeling that as Christians, we just need to go around with a bedsheet over our heads and talk about Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not the centrality of the totality of the Word of God. The centrality is on Christ, but the totality of the Word of God is the broader issues that we're faced with in life. It's called having a biblical worldview, a biblical worldview. And this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, we find today so many that's afraid to speak the truth. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." That's what we see taking place in society. In fact, you find that in Washington more than any place else on the face of the globe today. But it was Jan Hus, a theologian and church reformer of the 15th century, that said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even unto death." And ladies and gentlemen, that's my challenge to every Christian, is to simply seek the truth, live the truth, learn the truth, listen to the truth, defend the truth, even if it means defending it to our death. That ought to be the mantra, the mindset, the mandate for every child of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner, like brands like Honda and Echo. They carry hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators and a staff that's knowledgeable to answer all of your questions. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time.com. Tools for Time.com. Ladies and gentlemen, We're going to be talking about a subject today, perilous times. Perilous times. In fact, perilous times is upon us. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, perilous times shall come, and the last days, and we're in the last days. Word perilous means dark, dangerous, deadly, destructive, difficult days. And don't let anyone tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the Islamic jihadists are not deadly or dangerous. Iran has now launched 15 of its ballistic missiles into our facilities in Iraq. Fortunately, not killing any of our military men, but a very, very dangerous indication. Yet the leadership in Iran brags about the fact they have slapped America in the face. Ladies and gentlemen, we must all pray for God's wisdom for President Trump and his wisdom in making a response representing America today. I believe we'll have someone on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Interesting to see the events of the past 24 hours last evening, of course, with the Iranian strike on the base. They're immediately celebrating over there. They claim to have taken 30 American lives, and they're cheerful and they're celebrating that at the same time, saying, "Now, you United States, you don't escalate this thing. Don't take this thing any further." I mean, for 40 years, they've been involved in terrorist activity, funding it, supporting it, and committing it. And the Soleimani was not just funding it and supporting it. He had his men on board carrying it out. He's responsible for over 600 lives. You know, folks, the good folks in Iran are celebrating the death of Soleimani. I understand that those that showed up for his funeral parade, many of those were threatened. You show up or there'll be punishment for you. Can you imagine living in a country like that? But it's also amazing to think that those folks in Iran, after having gotten the response they did the last time, for them to think that they can order the United States. You know, that arrogance, that hubris on their part, you know where that comes from? That comes from the last president for 8 years bowing to those idiots. That comes from the last president for the past 8 years, or 8 years, 3 years ago, for 8 years, not just bowing to them, but sending them pallets of cash. Not just bowing to them, sending them pallets of cash, but releasing terrorists. I mean, if anything goes down, it all goes sideways, it all goes crazy, and Iran's at the center of it. You just remember, folks, who funded that, who sent them the pallets of cash, who released terrorists. I mean, come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with one of our sons, Greg Youngblood. I'm thankful, Greg, that you're available to take time out of your schedule today for us to talk. Let me ask you a question, and for the benefit of our listeners, of course, I know the general position that you take on it, but do you think that somehow, some way, down through the years, Iran and the mullahs have been encouraged and embraced for their stand and applauded for what they've done, based on what American leadership has done in the past, that has brought this about today and the end result as we see it today, with America being on a position that Nancy Pelosi and others are chiding and challenging the president as though he's done something wrong, rather than the mullahs and Iran being the ones that are wrong. Can we make any sense out of that juxtaposition of an irrationality that's taking place in Washington about this?
It is the pinnacle. It is the apex of hypocrisy, and the whole world sees it. As Barack Hussein Obama was in the White House, I believe the number got up into the hundreds of drone and cruise missile strikes, into the hundreds. I didn't hear a single liberal leftist baby-killing Democrat open their little pie hole about any of it. What did they do? They sat back. Osama was taken out. There was high praise. This fellow was in the same category as Osama bin Laden. You can literally play the clips side by side of Schumer's response with Osama bin Laden killed, and play the response after Trump gave the order and we took out Soleimani. Now, Soleimani, listen to those folks that are in Iraq and Iran that know the man. a former Iranian female, forget her name now, she posted a 10-minute video the other night talking about how evil the man was, even in country, not out of country with all of his terrorist acts, but in country. He was responsible for the murder, the rape, the sodomizing of one after another after another after another. His favorite torture for folks was to drill holes in them, drill holes in their arms, their legs, and their heads. This was a wicked, wretched man, again, responsible for at least 600 military personnel lives, countless numbers of injuries, you know, other casualties, and who knows how many of our allies and friends whose lives have been taken because of this man's activity. All of it now funded, supported, approved of. When I say approved of, when you refuse to take a stand, you have taken a stand. When you refuse to choose sides, you have chosen sides. And when the liberal leftist Democrat baby murderers don't take sides for America, guess whose side they chose? We all know. We all know.
Absolutely. And Greg, when they launched the ballistic missiles directly from Iran, there's no mistaking as to the source of it. And some 15 of them, and I believe they said four of them fell short and did not hit the targets. But I'm looking at an article now that says, Hezbollah says they will attack Israel if the United States responds to Iran's missile attacks by Iranian Revolutionary Guard on Tuesday. Quote, we in no way consider the Zionist regime of Israel to be separate from the criminal United States regime in these crimes, Hezbollah warned in their statement. Further, they said in this, Hezbollah will attack Israel if U.S. responds in any way in an attack on Iran. And it's Dateline Jerusalem Post. Hezbollah will attack Israel and the United States responds to the missile attacks carried out by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard on Tuesday night, according to the Iranian news agency. Quote, we in no way consider the Zionist regime of Israel to be separate from the criminal United States and its crimes. They warned in a statement, quote, we warned the great Satan, the bloodthirsty and arrogant regime of the United States, that any new wicked act, further aggression against Iran, will bring about more painful and crushing response, end quote. And yet, in Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Pencil Neck, what's his name? Adam Schiff, they all have taken the stand that we have a very, very bad, bad president. And so as a result of that, the imams and the called religious leaders in Iran now using the same terms that Nancy Pelosi has used in her tweets, calling the president arrogant and a terrorist minded person. And so the same terms are being used by our enemy that is being originated out of the House of Representatives and the leadership there. In fact, they're fast tracking in their dialogue and discussion today an attempt to foreclose the president's potentiality of responding, even if we need to protect human life in America. I find it egregious. Here's an article that says Iranian general objective still for the elimination of Israel and U.S. presence. A senior general in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard says the killing of Soleimani will motivate Muslim youth around the world to pull America from embassies and military bases and hang them blindfolded from trees. Quote, the Americans should sit down and watch what will happen in this region now. He goes on to say the youth are now motivated to carry out attacks against the United States presence, and America has no security anymore. The general said pressure America's existence and its exertion of power to Islamic nations will lead the people of the Islamic countries to pull them out of their nest and out of their spies and their military bases and hang them blindfolded from trees. It has caused the sleeping bear giant evil to rise up and start striking back. But Greg, as I say that, I'm encouraged when I realize that it's God's prophetic hand that's at work. It's the bringing about the fulfillment. We're watching the foreshadowing of the fulfillment, I believe, of Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Persia is one of the five Islamic nations. That's Iran today. Iran and Iraq literally was the total Persian empire. Persia today is standing up and being seen and it will be one of the five Islamic nations led by Russia, according to Ezekiel 38:39, against the United States of America, but primarily entering the fray through Israel and the desire to crush the apple of God's eye. And so even though it's horrific, and even though I hate to see these things take place, because it illustrates, again, the prophetic text about perilous times coming and perilous times being here, but those perilous times for the Christian well to recognize that it's the fulfillment of the prophetic word of God that's taking place.
You there? I thought I'd lost you there. It's interesting, and let me step into that for just a second. You just talked about the Ezekiel text. I think about Daniel and the vision of Nebuchadnezzar dealing with the statue, and you had the head of gold and the arms of brass and the bronze belly and the legs of iron and feet of iron mingled feet and toes iron mingled with clay. So you had that. In Nebuchadnezzar's empire, you know, when he heard he was the head of gold, he thought that was great. Then you had the Medo-Persian empire that came thereafter, then the Greek empire, then the Roman empire. And in the end times, we'll see the revived Roman empire in place. And of course, that so many, 2,600 years ago, but we see an end-to-end view. Folks need to realize that the Bible didn't make any mistakes. It's covered so clearly, so well. Folks, explore your scripture, but on Iran in particular today, there's nothing that's stirred up today. These folks have been shouting death to America and death to Israel for at least 40 years. The Islamic culture has been doing it for 1,400 years.
That's right.
To America, but particularly to Israel. We have from the moment we came on the scene, from the moment we acknowledged Israel, I think a minute after midnight, when they were declared a nation once again, when those dry bones came back to life, when they became a nation again, and moments after midnight, we recognized them. Very quickly, we became the great Satan because we supported them. They are always the little Satan in the eyes of that community. And this Quds force that Soleimani was running, his drive, his intent, his push was a direct assault on Israel. That's all any of this has to do with. And for 8 years, they were emboldened and encouraged by the last administration. You mentioned a moment ago how they used the same words. It's amazing how that works out, that they use the words of our enemies, our adversaries, as if that's where truth is found, as if, you know, the blame America first drive that they have, no matter what happens, it's retaliation for something America did wrong, something America did evil. Will you go back for 1,400 years and study the history of Muhammad and all of his acolytes, all of his followers down through history? Are all of those acts retaliation? Was he retaliating when he came into Mecca with his 10,000 foot soldiers and said, you know, submit or I'll destroy you? Was that retaliation for something? But that was just the beginning. That culture, that life, that bent has been evil. It's been totalitarian. It's been wicked. It's been wretched. The murders, the rapes, the slavery that has been spawned. When we look back in history at slavery, even those in North Africa that committed so much piracy on the high sea and took so many slaves, those weren't merely African. They were Muslim African nations that did that. You go back to the days of the Tripoli pirates that had to be dealt with by Thomas Jefferson. It was Muslim aggression, Muslim piracy. Thomas Jefferson read his Quran so he could know his enemy, know our enemy. These liberal leftist baby killers today in the Democratic Party, they do not know our enemy. Matter of fact, they are siding with our enemy.
That's exactly right. And it is frightening to me to see what's happening in America with the leadership out of Washington that seemingly would rather protect Iran than to protect our military and our military bases and the citizens of the United States of America. That shows their hatred and animus toward the president so much that all of the other is disregarded and counted for naught. Greg, there's one little irony. Excuse me. There's one little irony that fits into this whole latest 24-hour cycle of what's happening over in the Middle East. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Ukrainian airplane that was downed. 180, one article says 176, but 180 people on the plane. And mysteriously during the mix, I don't know whether it was just before or just after, the lobbing of the missiles into Iraq by Iranians, that the Ukrainian airplane was taken out of the sky. The video footage and the reports show that the plane burst into flames in the air, crashed, killing all aboard. I'm wondering what missile shot that out of the sky. Even our Iranian leadership now is refusing to turn the black box over to Boeing. It was a Boeing 737, refusing to turn the box over to them or to any investigators. In fact, here's an article that says, Ukrainian plane carrying 176 crashes outside Tehran, killing all on board. Iranian emergency officials said all 170 passengers and crew were killed when the Iranian 737-800 crashed shortly after takeoff. The Ukrainian International Airport Airlines flight bound for the country's capital in Kyiv plunged from the sky just minutes after departing from the international airport, according to Iran's state-run news agency. The crash came, this article says, hours after Iran launched a barrage of ballistic missiles on Iraqi bases housing Americans and coalition soldiers. Further in the article says, I heard a massive explosion and all the house started to shake. There was fire everywhere, one individual said. All passengers and nine crew members from the different nations on board of the plane perished. Both Iranian and Ukrainian officials said the nationalities of those dead, 82 Iranians, 63 Canadians, 11 Ukrainians, nine of which are crew members, 10 Swedes, four Afghans, and three Germans and three British were on board. A spokesman for the Iran's Road and Transportation Ministry said one of the plane's engines caught fire, causing the pilots to lose control of the airplane. If that's what happened, why not turn the black box over to find out what happened? Of course, it's just my conspiracy theory, I reckon, but I believe that it's high potentiality that somebody on board that plane, that the Iranians did not want to talk or to go back to Ukraine. And it's strange that it's Ukrainian, and you know all of the history there, a Ukrainian airline that was taken out of the sky right in the midst of the barrage of the missiles going from Iran to Iraq. What is your take on that?
Well, there are a few interesting corollaries. You know, they're not willing to turn over the black boxes. And, you know, years ago, supposedly, the DNC was hacked by Russia. You know, that was part of the whole Russian garbage, and they tried to rope Trump into it all. You know, the DNC didn't turn over those servers. You know, some third party looked at that, and the report was that Russia had done it. And you go, hold on a second. If there's an issue here, and it's an international issue, why don't you turn over your server? Just right. Like on this. You know, if this was a potential strike, anything else, anything questionable, why don't you turn over the black boxes? But we'll just call that an anomaly. We really don't know, right? It's an anomaly. Well, there's another anomaly that took place yesterday. You may or may not know about it. Two substantial earthquakes hit Iran. Does the Bible [S2] Yes. [S1] Say anything about earthquakes? Bible say anything about earthquakes? And how those will be more pronounced as the day draws near. Now, I know there are earthquakes all over the earth, and they happen on a daily basis. But yesterday, Iran got hit with two of them. I think they were 5.5 or better. I don't recall the exact numbers on those, but two of them. So anomaly number two is there. So, we'll see how things play out over the coming days, weeks, months, perhaps years. But I think you hit the nail on the head, taking it back to the Ezekiel text and identifying the coming war. And you know, Iran has always been a proxy for Russia, or has been operating as a proxy for Russia for years.
Absolutely,
Iran stirring the pot and the funding of terrorism and everything else. It was intended, you know, Russia providing support to Iran. And they're providing support to and direct activity in terrorism was intended to keep the United States off balance. Now, I will say that we have spent an enormous amount of money playing that game back in two. You know, when Iraq and Iran were at it, when Russia and Iraq was at, you know, we threw support to the other side in order to destabilize it. You know, so granted, this is a muddy picture, but this muddy picture comes to full clarity when you view it through the eyes of the Scripture.
Absolutely.
And that so many times is overlooked. So I would encourage folks, do your study, do your research, understand what the Word of God has to say on this subject before you come to a conclusion.
Yeah, one of the things that many might ask the question, why should Christians and conservatives be interested or concerned about what's happening in the Middle East? Why should we be concerned about what Iran is doing? And it's because, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the hand of God. It is though the prophetic clock is stopped at 1 minute before midnight. And as soon as that clock starts, we're looking for the rapture of the church, to the sudden seizure of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of the prophetic texts being fulfilled of what God has already said. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, very carefully. This in Ezekiel 38 and 39 will happen before the rapture of the church. Many people refer to Ezekiel 38 and 39 as the major cataclysmic final battle, the Battle of Armageddon. And it's not the Battle of Armageddon. It is the invasion, the global Islamic invasion that starts with Russia and five Islamic nations trying to go in and annihilate the apple of God's eye, the little postage stamp of land called Israel, and then it will absolutely flood the entire earth with that battle that will then lead into the ultimate battle, the Battle of Armageddon, as is recited in Revelation chapter 16. But we're watching the hand of God. And Greg, I say to everybody, when we see these things happening, we look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:28 tells us. And so we're seeing these things, and it's exciting to me as I see the prophetic text becoming reality in the daily news, on the newspapers, in the news media. Even the fake news is talking about it, not realizing it's the hand of God. And yes, when you talk about the earthquakes taking place, I believe it's the finger of God pointing to the corruption, the total desire to annihilate the apple of God's eye, that God is saying, no, you can't, no, you won't, I won't allow it.
You know, this morning, back to the, you know, moving to the current moment and time, Trump announced additional sanctions against Tehran, the Iranian regime there in Tehran. And the Islamic Republic operating there, it's interesting also, they're the Islamic Republic. Don't forget that, folks. It's kind of
right.
It was kind of like looking back at Hitler's Germany. It was the Socialist Party, what is Socialist People Party, whatever. We're dealing with socialists there. We have to identify who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the Islamic Republic of terrorism there in Tehran, Iran. And the sanctions have been ratcheted up yet again. Last year, from what I understand, their currency lost like 80% of its value. So from a secular, from a worldview, you know, sanctions are working to apply pressure so as to hopefully get these folks to back away from their acts of terrorism. But the inflation rate, if you will, or devaluation of the currency is such that they are to this year remove, I believe, 4 zeros from their currency. So, you know, so we walk around, let's say we're walking around with a $10,000 bill. You know, I think they used to actually make those. $10,000 bill. Let's remove 4 of the zeros so it's a $1 bill. That's what they're doing, folks. That's what they're doing. And they would not have the wherewithal to commit all of these acts of terrorism. They would not have that wherewithal if it weren't for the pallets of cash. They would not have that wherewithal if it were not for Barack Hussein Obama.
Paid for now, by U.S. taxpayer dollars through Barack Hussein Obama. Greg, we've got about 30 seconds left in this portion of the broadcast, but I want to say how much we appreciate and thank you and love you for what you're doing and your stand on biblical truth and what you're doing to impact others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has been a joy to have you with us today. And by the way, as we pray, we need to pray for the safety and the protection of the nation of Israel. We need to pray for the wisdom that we ask God to give to our president for the decisions he has to make in the future.
First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.